Ladies and gentlemen, coming at you live from his own bedroom, your host, Tony.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? Welcome back to another episode of Time Out with Tony, your host, Tony. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's another lovely, lovely, lovely day here in, And today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be reviewing Jingle All the Way. Yeah, you know, the one Christmas movie with the Arnold and Put the Cookie Down and the Turbo Man and I don't know, you know, what else is in it. But yeah, you know that movie? Yeah, that's what we're going to be reviewing today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I got to say this here is one of my favorite, all-time favorite Christmas movies, all right? This comes tied head-to-head with Home Alone 2, all right? It's either this or Home Alone 2. Anything else, get out of here. Alright? And despite that, the movie was such a huge shit show when it first came out, and it receives a lot of negative reviews, but frankly, if you ask me, I think it's a cult classic. Alright? I think it's a cult classic, and if you haven't watched this during Christmas, then what are you doing with your life, huh? Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into today's episode, I want to take a quick minute and thank you guys all so much for the support. It means a lot, really, so keep it up, and most of all, spread the word, tell everybody. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, enough of that. Let's get straight into today's episode. I'm trying to make this thing go kind of fast, you know? Sit back, relax, and crack open a beer, soda, and or water, ladies and gentlemen, and enjoy, because this is Jingle All the Fucking Way.
Put that cookie down! Now!
Okay, jeez. Alright, ladies and gentlemen. So, for those of you that don't know, Jingle All the Way is a 1996 Christmas family comedy film directed by Brian Levant. The movie stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad, you know, that one comedian from the 90s that no one remembers, as two rival fathers that try to, you know, desperately purchase a Turbo Man action figure for their respective sons on a last minute shopping spree on Christmas Eve. The film's title is borrowed from the lyrics of the popular Christmas song Jingle Bells. I don't know why they named it that, but you know, it's a pretty decent name. Inspired by the real life Christmas toy sellouts for items such as Cabbage Patch Kids, the film was written by Randy Cornfield. Producer Chris Columbus rewrote the script, adding in elements of satire about the commercialization of Christmas, and the project was picked up by 20th Century Fox. Delays to Fox's reboot of The Planet of the Apes allowed Schwarzenegger to come on board to the film. While Columbus opted to cast Sinbad instead of Joe Pesci as Myron, Jingle All the Way was set and filmed in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul at a variety of locations, including the Mall of America. After 5 weeks of filming, production moved to California, where scenes like the End Parade were shot at. The film's swift production meant merchandising was limited to a replica of the Turbo Man action figure used in the film. Upon release, Jingle All the Way grossed $129 million worldwide and actually went on to receive generally negative reviews from critics. In 2001, Fox was ordered to pay $19 million to Murray Hill Publishing for stealing the idea for the film. The verdict was overturned 3 years later. Jingle All the Way is the third and final collaboration between comedians Phil Hartman and Sinbad. It's also actually the last film to feature comedian Phil Hartman. The last film to be released during comedian Phil Hartman's lifetime. In 2014, the film was followed by a very, very shitty sequel that had nothing at all to do with the first one, titled Jingle All the Way 2, and it starred Larry the Cable Guy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get straight into today's plot. So, our story opens up on a workaholic by the name of Howard Langston. He's a mattress salesman who loves his wife, Liz, and his 9-year-old son, Jamie, very much. However, he is unable to find time for his family and often is put in a bad light by his neighbor, divorcee Ted Madlin. Ted here has unrequited feelings for Liz. I mean, could you blame him? She's kind of bad. After missing Jamie's karate class graduation, Howard resolves to redeem himself by fulfilling Jamie's Christmas wish of an action figure of Turbo Man, a popular TV superhero, despite Liz having asked him to buy one 2 weeks earlier, which Howard forgot about. On Christmas Eve, Howard sets out to buy the toy. He finds that every store is sold out, however, and in the process, he develops a rivalry with Myron Larby, a postal worker father with the same ambition. In desperation, Howard attempts to buy a figure from a counterfeit toy brand run by a bunch of con men dressed in Santa suits. It's like the most hilarious thing ever, dude. Especially the little elf. Hilarious. Anyways, this results in a massive fight in the warehouse that ends up being broken up when the police arrive. Howard narrowly escapes the arrest by posing as an undercover officer. Exhausted at his failure and out of fuel, he goes to Mickey's diner and calls home. Intending to tell his wife the truth, Jamie answers the phone but keeps reminding Howard of his promise to be home in time for the annual holiday wintertainment parade. He loses his patience and Howard yells at him, after which he feels guilty and depressed after Jamie scolds him for not keeping keeping his promises. Howard finds Myron at the diner and they share their experiences over coffee, where Myron tells Howard of his resentment towards his own father for failing to get him a Johnny 7 OMA for Christmas. A radio station advertises a competition for a Turbo Man doll. This causes a fight between Howard and Myron, and this results in the diner's phone being damaged, forcing Howard and Myron to race to the radio station on foot, where the DJ tells them that the competition was actually for a Turbo Man gift certificate. The police are alerted, and Howard and Myron escape after Myron threatens the officers with a seemingly phony letter bomb. Officer Alexander Hummel, an officer whom Howard has already run into twice, once the night before when he tried to pull off an illegal maneuver on the highway, and earlier that day when he accidentally knocked the shit out of his motorcycle. Anyways, the officer investigates the package only to have it detonate, much to the man's shock. Howard returns to his car only to find it stripped by thieves and with the words "Merry Xmas" spray painted on the windshield. He returns home in a tow truck only to find Ted putting the star on his Christmas tree. In retaliation, Howard attempts to steal the Turbo Man doll Ted bought for his son. He can't bring himself to steal from a child, and he gets caught in the act and is left alone while his family goes to the Christmas parade with Ted. After letting Jamie and Johnny out of the car, Ted attempts to seduce Liz, but she finally rejects him by beating the shit out of him with a thermos of eggnog that Ted had offered her. Meanwhile, remembering his promise to Jamie, he goes to the parade and he decides to attend as well, but he runs into the police officer. This time he knocks the shit out of his cups of coffee and he burns them. This causes another chase, and Howard hides inside of a storage room where he is mistaken for the actor portraying Turbo Man. They dress him in a highly technological costume, and as Turbo Man, he uses his chance to present a limited edition action figure to Jamie. They get confronted, however, by Myron, dressed as Turbo Man's enemy, Dementor. Despite Howard's pleas from Myron to stop, a chase ensues, and this involves a jetpack flight. Myron acquires the toy from Jamie, but is cornered by a bunch of police officers. While Howard saves his son, he reveals himself to his family and apologizes for his shortcomings. The police return the toy to Jamie as Myron is arrested, but Jamie decides to give the toy to Myron for his son, proclaiming his father as his true hero. The crowd from the parade carries Howard for being a true hero, and Myron, Liz, and Jamie look on and smile. Post-credits scene. Later that night, Howard finishes decorating their Christmas tree by putting the star on top. However, when Liz asks Howard what he got her, he shockingly realizes that he forgot to get her a gift. Dun, dun, dun. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Jingle All the Way. Alright, that's pretty cool, huh? It's a pretty cool story. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, the rating. On a scale of 1 to 10, I've got to give... Jingle all the way, eh? A 6 out of 10. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. 6 out of 10. Here's why. Now, in terms of Christmas movies, this shit is a perfect 10. But it's a movie, alright? And unfortunately, I gotta give it a 6 out of 10, and here's why. First and foremost, a lot of the writing, it's completely fucking stupid. I know it's a kid's movie, but even then, kids will know and be like, hey, yo, this shit is fucking whack. It's horrible writing. I mean, kidnapping someone's kid and using hardcore pyrotechnics to steal a fucking toy? What the fuck? And even then, parents know that they have to stop at a certain limit. Unless this is one of those cases where, you know, Howard is actually a Florida man, then in that case, I totally understand why he's going through these lengths to do all this shit. But no, alright, these are two normal people that live in metropolitan areas, and from the looks of it, there is no crime whatsoever, nothing wrong with the factories, nothing, there's no smoke in the air, there's nothing like that, so, yeah, again, it just, some of the writing, it just really doesn't make sense, it kind of makes it look a bit stupid, and, Let me go to the good parts. Okay, so to the good parts. It's not all bad stuff, right, ladies and gentlemen? My apologies. I don't mean to make it all bad. Good things about this movie is Arnold. Arnold as a lead in a comedy. Fucking gold, bro. Whoever thought of that shit? Perfect. I mean, we've all seen Kindergarten Cop and Twins and Junior. This is just another little movie on a long list of successful movies that this guy has had. Not only that, but the comedy, just sort of like the rivalry between Howard and Myron. I really, really, really enjoy that. And the fact that Sinbad and Arnold improvised a lot of their scenes, a lot of their interactions, whenever the characters interacted, a lot of it was improvised. I really liked that. And it just sort of like really made me like the movie even more, you know? Because I really liked the rivalry. It's hilarious. It's fun to watch. Let's see what else. The concept itself, too, you know, the fact that, you know, Christmas, you know, ain't even about Christmas no more, you know, it's just people trying to, you know, get that good shit, trying to get good presents, know what I mean? I really like that concept, the fact that, you know, they keep bringing that side of, you know, those kind of concepts up, because really, I mean, what else are they gonna make Christmas movies about these days, you know? Oh, it's a kid who got left behind for the holidays? Yep, nope, yeah, can't use that idea no more. Nope. You found out you were adopted and raised inside the North Pole, and now you gotta set out to find your dad after not seeing him for 30 years? Nope. Can't use that idea no more. Anyways, but yeah, no, I really liked the concept, although, give or take, maybe in a few years, this concept might be, you know, just a concept that everyone just shits on, I guess. I don't know, but I really like the concept for this. It's not dry yet. Just give it a few more years. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, those are my thoughts on Jingle All the Way. Let me know what you guys think. Let's take a look behind the scenes. So, production for the film first began when screenwriter Randy Cornfield drew inspiration from the high demand for Christmas toys such as the Cabbage Patch Kids and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in the late 80s and 90s, which often led to intense searching and occasional violence among shoppers, such as the Cabbage Patch Riots. Yes, they were an actual thing. Look it up. Anyways, so screenwriter wrote the film after he witnessed his in-laws go to a Santa Monica toy store at dawn in order to get their kid a Power Ranger. While admitting to missing the clamor for the Cabbage Patch Kids and the Power Rangers, producer Chris Columbus experienced a somewhat similar situation in the year 1995 when he attempted to obtain a Buzz Lightyear action figure from the film Toy Story, released that year. As a result, he rewrote Cornfield's script, which was accepted by 20th Century Fox. Columbus was always attracted to the dark side of the happiest holiday of the year, so he wrote elements of the film as a satire of the commercialization of Christmas. Brian Levant was hired to direct the film. Columbus said that Levant understood the humor and in the material and was very animated and excited as he had a vision of what he wanted to do. Levant said, quote, The story that was important to me was between the father and a son. It's a story about love and a father's journey to deliver in the form of a Turbo Man doll. The fact that I got to design a toy line and do the commercials and make pajamas, comic books was fun for me as a filmmaker. But as it's root, the movie's about something really sweet. It's about love, building a better family. I think that's consistent with everything I've done. End quote. Arnold Schwarzenegger was quickly cast, like immediately, bro. He became available in February of 1996 after Fox's remake of Planet of the Apes was held up again. Columbus was also excited that the project was, also exited that project to work on Jingle All the Way. The film marks Schwarzenegger's fourth appearance as a lead in the comedy film. This is after Twins in 1988, Kindergarten Cop in 1990, and Junior in 1994. Schwarzenegger was paid a reported $20 million for the role. He enjoyed the film, having a last-minute Christmas having experienced a last-minute Christmas shopping himself. He was attracted to play an ordinary character in a family film. Columbus initially wanted Joe Pesci to play Myron, but comedian Sinbad was chosen instead, partly due to his similar height and size to Schwarzenegger. He was suggested for the part by Schwarzenegger's agents, but the producers felt he was unsuited to the role of the villain as it could harm his clean, family-oriented comedy act and reputation, although Sinbad felt the character would generate the audience's sympathy rather than hate. Furthermore, he missed the audition due to his appearance with the then First Lady Hillary Clinton and musician Sheryl Crow on the USO tour of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Columbus waited for him to return and to allow him to audition, and although he messed it up, he was given the part. He improvised the majority of the lines in the film, and Schwarzenegger also improvised many of his responses in his conversations with Sinbad's characters.
This hurts my throat a lot. That's what she said.
So, opening on November 22nd, 1996, Jingle All the Way made $12.1 million in its first weekend, debuting at number 4, right behind Star Trek First Contact, Space Jam, and Ransom. The film went on to gross $129 million worldwide, recouping its $75 million budget. On Rotten Tomatoes, the film has an approval rating of 19%. 19%! Based on 48 reviews and an average rating of 4.4 out of 10, the site's critical consensus reads, quote, Arnold Schwarzenegger tries his best, but Jingle All the Way suffers from an uneven tone, shifting wildly from a would-be satire on materialism and slapstick yuckfest, end quote. Yikes, they did not know it was slapstick yuckfest. Jesus fuck, where do these guys come up with these? Where do these guys even come up with these fucking analogies? Anyways, there was a sequel. 18 years after the release of the original film, a standalone sequel, Jingle All the Way 2, was released. It was a straight-to-DVD because, I mean, nobody was going to fucking bother to see it if it didn't have Arnold. The film has a similar plot to the original, but it is in no way connected to the original cast or characters. In other words, it's a pointless sequel that I really don't recommend at all if, you know, you're trying to not waste your time, but trying to waste time, by all means, go ahead. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, this pretty much kind of concludes today's episode. Let me know what you guys think. Do you guys think that Jingle All the Way is a Christmas must watch? I definitely think. I totally recommend it, especially if you're with friends. This thing is a kick. It's a kick, man. You'll get a hoot. It's a laugh. It's Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty much it for today's episode. Stay tuned. More details will be coming on the giveaway. So keep an eye out. And that's pretty much it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys all so much. And we'll catch you guys next week. Stay safe, stay warm, and most of all, don't drink and drive.
Okay, show's over. Please get out. Thank you.